people struggle to overcome that two men try to handle on their own, alone. But they don't have to, and neither do you. Treatment is available in the privacy of a physician's office. Click on the banner and visit turntohelp.com.
Live 365.
Body Magazine. Explore your reality and expand your mind. Advertise your products and services with us.
Whatever's you're hearing in the background,
NCB is a printed publication.
I have everybody's mics
and also available.
Only thing going
online.
Over the air is
check
the,
us out
commercial.
At www.newcorporatebody.com or call 949-249-3825. That's www.newcorporatebody.com. 949-249-3825. New Corporate Body Magazine and Sovereign Mind are a division of Timeline Publishing, Incorporated. Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio Program, and I'm your host, Sonia Barrett, broadcasting from Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, August 8, 2008, Matrix Time. Join me each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time as Sovereign Mind explores the nature of the game, the game players, and the strategies in place to hold you spellbound and distracted. Informed guests will bring insight to the silent side of corporations, spiritual concepts, science, and technology, and how they're all being used to influence your choices. We will explore concepts and ideas that will stretch human imagination and potential. We want you to participate by calling in at 310-928-7733 or emailing your questions to innerlightradio@yahoo.com. My guest today is Dr. Kim Moyes. He is a naturopathic doctor, kinesiologist, and NAET allergist, also utilizing techniques such as shiatsu acupressure, reflexology, meditation, fasting, and has a mastery in yoga. And I, for those of you who have gone to the website earlier to see who the upcoming guests were, I did put a note, write a note on there because I wanted to indicate that I know Dr. Kim personally in the sense of having had to utilize his allergy elimination techniques, and I was just so overjoyed at the results because they were, you know, it was so immediate. And it, despite the fact that I'm a holistic coach, but not doing it, not practicing at all at this time because my life was so hectic, that yes, I started to get run down and started to develop allergies, you know, wheat, soy, all of those things we're trying to talk about. But I felt it really important to have Dr. Kim on to explain some of these situations and how simply we can possibly balance our bodies, because he really assisted me in a major way. So just to give you a little bit more background on Dr. Kim, he practices a technique called NAET, which is a non-invasive, safe, painless allergy elimination system that effectively eliminates allergies. If you follow the NAET guidelines, through this technique, they have seen over a 90% success rate in the elimination of allergies to food, chemicals, and the environment. Dr. Kim provides simple, and effective ways to improve your health, beauty, and longevity, slowing the aging process, including increasing your antioxidant levels. He indicates that the main cause of degenerative disease are free radicals. Free radicals are, of course, unstable molecules that have a destructive nature. Free radicals damage our organs, tissue, cells, and even our DNA. Again, you are listening to Sovereign Mind live on Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, October 8th. Dr. Kim, welcome to Sovereign Mind.
Thank you.
All right.
Good
well,
to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. So, I'm looking forward to having you really shed some light on, and so many conditions that, can be possibly resolved, a lot simpler, a lot faster, bringing balance, to the body. And, you know, when I saw you, when I finally came to see you, it was because I just was running around too much and not enough time to go through the process that I normally go through with, you know, doing all my herbs and all of that. But I learned something from you, quite a few things, and I want to share that. First of all, Dr. Kim, you can either just talk a little bit about all the techniques that you use, or we can go right into explaining the very first one there. What is NAET? And then I have a host of other questions for you. That's just to warm you up to the.
Okay. NAET stands for Nambutrapad Allergy Elimination Technique. Dr. Devi Nambutrapad was the woman who developed the NAET system. She is quite a woman. She has many letters behind her name. She is a registered nurse. She is also a chiropractor. She is also a licensed acupuncturist and now a medical doctor.
Mm.
So with her own background in so many different methodologies, she was able to develop the NAET system. So it is a hybrid. She uses both scientific and Western understanding of chemicals and foods, but she uses the Chinese medical approach to the clearing of an allergy. I should also mention that she was born in India. When she was in utero, her mother had malaria, and so she came out with a compromised immune system and digestive system. So she struggled with allergies her whole life. And it wasn't until she stumbled upon her own cure that she was able to cure herself and then to go on and cure other people. And when I studied with her, the majority of the people in the room, and I'd say there were 5 dozen practitioners there, at least 60 people, from all over the world, the majority of them were doctors.
Hmm.
So even though this is a technique that, for the most part, goes under the radar, a lot of people worldwide are benefiting from the allergy elimination technique, including myself. You had mentioned yourself, you know, you got into some allergies. I had allergies for about 10 years, and I eat very well, and I practice yoga and meditation. But just due to the toxic lifestyle that we live with the smog and with the water and with the foods that we eat, it's very easy for our immune systems to be compromised.
Right. And, I wanted to now go into that question.
Okay.
It's sort of like the chicken, which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of situation. And in terms of the immune support, is it then the immune support breaking down, you know, first, or is it really caused then by the compounding effect of allergies, you know, which one? Because either one, the allergies start to really destroy the immune system, the immune support. So, you know, which situation gets attacked first, you know, overall?
I believe it's the immune system overall. I think it's the level of toxins in our environment.
Mm. Okay.
Dysfunction.
Okay.
When you think about it, I was just going to say, the 20th century brought about some very wonderful technological advances. But in terms of food, it really failed. because mm-hmm. food became more of a capitalistic endeavor than a nutritional endeavor. And so we began to get what we call denatured food. Food that has a long shelf life, food that may taste good, but food that is denatured. It no longer has the nutritional value that it started with. Plus all the chemicals that are added to foods, one to help to preserve it or to enhance the flavor, and also chemicals that are designed to make you crave the food.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. That's a very common one. That whatever it is, I can't remember the name of it, but a lot of the food cravings, even going by a bakery, the smell, all of those things are sort of, I mean, to my knowledge, they're studied in terms of how to affect, you know, your attention.
Oh, yeah, it's a science. It's the science with these big corporations, you know. And not just the food, however, it's also chemicals that we use in farming, chemicals, industrial chemicals that are used and dumped into the soil or put into the air. So just by walking around and breathing in a city like Los Angeles and drinking water and occasionally going out to a restaurant that may not be an organic restaurant is going to compromise your immune system. There's just no two ways about it.
Now, for people who say, yeah, but I drink, you know, bottled water, good water. I mean, what about the shower? Because you're still absorbing.
A good point. Very good point. You're absorbing all those chemicals through your skin unless you have a shower filter. Yes.
Right. So I wanted to make sure that people really realize that. And over time, it's going to build up in your system. Another thing that I thought was interesting is you gave a list of things in asking what you're allergic to, and I noticed you had concrete, and I think it was concrete or cement.
Yes,
or
ceramic tiles, concrete.
Yeah, wood, and how many people are really going to think about the fact that they could be allergic to those things? And I wanted you to just sort of mention some possibilities of things that people could be allergic to and they don't know. And how could you be allergic, you know, to concrete and wood? Just curious to, just want the audience to get that.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you should mention that. When I first was studying with Dr. Nambutrapad, there was a doctor there who said that what had turned him on to wanting to learn about it was his wife. She had like two hip replacements, and it was from the place that they were living in. And I forget how he stumbled upon realizing that she was just allergic to all this stuff. And they either moved or they changed the elements that they had in their house, and then she was fine after that. I know, too, we used to go swimming over at somebody's house back in 1965, so I was 11 years old at the time. And I don't know what was in their concrete, but I remember I would have a real hard time walking. I'd get this big pain in my hip. And I remember one time I just sat down and sort of dragged myself over to the pool, and I went into the water. In the water, I was fine, but on their concrete, I was having a very difficult time. Most people wouldn't register for them why what's happening to their body is happening. And again, it's just those chemicals have a certain reaction in that particular person's body. And every body is different. And inside our bodies is our immune system. And the immune system is like a circulating nervous system. And so it's the most complex part of our body chemistry. And it is not completely understood by scientists, but that's why they say one man's poison is another man's tea, because one person's body can completely transmute all the toxins and poisons in something, where it can kill another person.
Yes,
reacts differently. I was just going to say everybody reacts differently. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I want you to finish what you're saying.
I don't really know the inner dynamics of why a person would be allergic to concrete or ceramics, you know, porcelain, those types of things. But again, everybody's nervous system and immune system is different, and we're all born with certain genetic tendencies. I've even had some people say, well, I don't have any allergies, but upon questioning them or having them fill out an information, they say, oh, yeah, you know, I eat peanuts, you know, I get a stomach ache. Or, oh, yeah, when I breathe in even just the smallest amount of car exhaust, I want to vomit. It ruins my day or gives me a headache. So we're all sensitive to certain things, and we classify allergies, intolerances, and sensitivities all as allergies, and we treat them all as allergies. And everybody has sensitivities or intolerances to various foods, chemicals, or things in the environment. I've yet to see anybody who didn't.
And that's what's so interesting, because when we say allergies, I think immediately you think, oh, runny nose, sneezing. That's usually the immediate thing, or hay fever, you know, something like that, but not to think you're allergic to all these other things.
Right.
Yeah, which means that most people then, like you said, pretty much everyone is walking around with that. And I'm still fascinated by the concrete thing, because then I start looking at a lot of people with knee problems and just health issues, like just all kinds of interesting things, and considering the fact that you're walking on concrete all the time. So figure if somebody is really having a problem with this and would have absolutely no clue. Now, is there a way to test for that?
Yes, there is. The way that I test the homeopathic vials, and we're treating chemical and things I test people for very effectively.
Dr. Kim, can you hear me? You were fading out a little bit. I don't know if you moved or something, but I think you faded a little bit, and I want to make sure that people really were able to hear what you were saying there.
Okay. How's this now?
Okay, that's better.
Okay. I was saying that I have over 300 different chemical components in homeopathic vials, and the way that we do the testing is with applied kinesiology. Applied kinesiology was developed in 1964 by Dr. George Goodhart, who was the first person to amalgamate the Western system of muscle testing to change medical model. And Dr. Chapman, back in the 1930s, a chiropractor here in the United States, was able to place the limbs or the torso in various positions to isolate an individual muscle and test it for relative strength. And that's not an easy thing to do, because muscles are always paired and grouped together. But by placing the origin and the insertion of the muscle close together, in other words, placing a muscle in its weakest position, we're able to test with a small amount of pressure the strength of that muscle. Now, he found that by working with the muscles that were weak, he was able to greatly decrease people's recovery time. There'd been an accident. And he was also able to increase athletic performance. But it was fairly simplistic and limited. 30-some-odd years later, Dr. George Goodhart, a very gifted gentleman, very intelligent, photographic memory, was simultaneously studying Western system of muscle testing and Chinese medicine. Now, Chinese medicine is based on this concept of qi, which is the life force. And qi flows through the body in 14 distinct pathways known as meridians. And the meridians are all named after the organs that they feed. So there's a heart meridian, a lung meridian, stomach, gallbladder. All of the organs have a meridian associated with them. The pressure points are areas along these energy pathways where qi has a tendency to sink. And in Chinese medicine, whether we're using needles or pressure or exercise or diet, it's all designed to reestablish the natural movement of qi in the body. The idea being that a body with an uninhibited movement of qi has optimal health. And I liken it to the immune system. When your immune system is strong, you can get exposed to bacteria and virus, but you don't get sick. But when your immune system is stressed or compromised, then it's more likely for the virus and bacteria or germs to take hold. So the idea with qi is when your qi is flowing, you're healthy and strong. Think of stagnant water versus water that's flowing.
Wow. And I know that I was one of the things I wanted to also, I guess we don't really have to go into that in depth, but the whole idea of your body running on reserve, I want to have you clarify that, because I feel that most people, a great majority of people, their bodies are running on reserve, and they're not, they don't really know that. They're not really realizing that's what's happening, and it will take you from a simple cold to depression. So would you just talk about that briefly? What are some of the classic symptoms to let you know your body, you've gone into reserve? There's really nothing.
Yeah, I like to say a lot of them are running on empty. Because they're not eating foods that are really nourishing their bodies. And then they're also engaged in activities that stress the body, like either overwork or overstressed or smoking cigarettes and even drinking coffee. Can drain the energy from your body. and so that creates a lot of toxins and a lot of fatigue. I think one of the biggest problems is the amount of toxins in our environment, because all those toxins have to be cleared, and they have to be cleared out of the body through the liver. But if the liver is toxic, then it can't effectively detoxify your body. That'll manifest in a variety of ways, because the liver, most of us think of the stomach as the one that is energy, breaking down the food and giving us energy. But it's the liver that is turning the food that we eat into energy. The liver orchestrates metabolism. So it's imperative that our livers get back online. And again, due to the amount of toxins in the food and in our diet and in our environment, most of us need to do an effective liver cleanse. But that requires being more conscious and taking more responsibility. We also live in a society where we expect to get a magic pill, you know, a pill that makes us lose weight, a pill that gives us energy, a pill that takes away our depression, you know, pills, pills, pills. And in my 50 years of experience, it's just not how it works. You know, there is no magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is your health.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I want to come back to some questions around what you just said, but I'm going to go to a listener's question. Victoria Avery, she says, can Dr. Kim please discuss gluten and the impact it has on the body? Also, MS has been linked to allergies. Is there a connection?
Oh, absolutely. I've worked with MS patients, and one of the first things that we clear is gluten. Gluten creates problems in the intestines, and it can stick to the walls of the intestines, and it can cause malabsorption or diminished absorption of minerals in the intestines into the bloodstream. And a lot of people have gluten intolerances, have serious gluten intolerances, considered celiac disease, and I treat people with that as well. And for people who have celiac disease, they often come with a wealth of allergies, and I don't recommend that they actually go back to eating gluten. And they pretty much want to stay away from the gluten. And gluten can also cause joint pain and stiffness and inflammation. And so a lot of times people who get away from gluten find that a lot of their symptoms clear up. With MS, we also look to other things, specifically nut and peanut allergies. And I've seen that categorically in people who have multiple sclerosis, they have some sort of nut allergy.
Wow. Now, what has the results been like in working with people with MS?
For some people, it's very dramatic. For other people, I've had no response whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is always interesting to me to work with people and see what types of reactions they have. I've learned to not try to second guess.
Right,
because everybody's
right.
Immune different. And so I just generally tell people, okay, this is going to take some time. Let me do allergy clearings and see what happens. And you should slowly get better and better and better. And that's generally what happens. Sometimes I say a lot of people aren't even in their bodies. They're so unaware of their own bodies that they're not even aware of the changes that go on. Sometimes people say, Doc, you know, I don't really feel any different. So I look at the chart and I say, well, are you sleeping any better? Well, yeah, I am sleeping better. And you still, you know, stomach aches after you eat in the afternoon? No, actually I'm not. And you know, on you go down the list and you realize, oh, they actually are feeling better. but perhaps the one particular thing that they were looking to hasn't quite cleared yet, whatever that might be.
Right.
So I do work with people a lot, and I wanted to add, in applied kinesiology, we employ what we call the self-responsibility model, which is different from the medical model. The Western medical model is, okay, I'm the doctor, I don't need to listen to your questions, you need to listen to me, I'm the authority here, what you need to do is do what I say, listen to my diagnosis.
Dr. Kim, you're getting a little muffled again. I don't know if you moved. I know that you had said that.
No, I didn't, actually, but sometimes, yes, this, my new cell phone, my iPhone, is this any better?
Yes, it's clear now.
Okay. I was saying the medical model professes that as a doctor, I'm the authority, and you just need
right.
to listen to me, and I'll listen to my diagnosis and do what I say in my prognosis, basically take these pills and you should feel better. Where with the self-responsibility model, it's completely different. I'm here as a teacher and a co-partner with you, that together we're going to see what's going to work best for you. But ultimately, you're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And you have every right to question me and to ask me and make sure that you understand, because even if you see me 2-3 times a week, you're in my office for a couple hours, the rest of the time you're on your own.
Right.
You're the one making the decisions, how much you're going to exercise, what kind of foods you're going to eat, what time you're going to go to bed, how much sleep you're going to get, those types of things. Again, it's all about lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, by kinesiology, there's more of a responsibility. So I have people, at the beginning, keep a journal of what they're eating and what their symptoms are and, you know, what the triggers might be. So they begin to notice for themselves, oh, you know, half an hour after I eat, I get a stomachache. So it's what I'm eating.
Right.
Some people don't make that connection between what they're eating and how their stomach feels.
Yeah, that sounds, it's really amazing though, and you're right, it's, people are very, most people aren't in touch with their bodies, and so, yes, I remember, for me, it seemed like I probably was just being a little nutty, because every little thing that happens with my body, I'm aware of it, I'm aware of how my body responds to pretty much everything,
yes,
you know.
Me too.
Yeah, and that makes such a difference. So then you can seem like you're being a little nutty, as opposed to just going, oh, my head hurts, I'm just going to go take a Tylenol. When for me, it's, I'm going to go, okay, this is unusual, and I start backtracking. What, you know, what did I eat, or did it happen, you know, so many times when I've eaten this? Or I'll even wait till it subsides, and I'll test it by eating that thing again. I've done that, too, just to confirm if my issues are with that. So if that's the responsibility factor there. It's tuning in and really listening to your body.
Yes, becoming more self-aware. Not that taking a Tylenol or an aspirin isn't a good thing. When you have a headache, you want to get out of pain. But
right.
if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, then the amount of drugs that you put in your body is directly going to influence the health of your internal organs.
Yes. Absolutely.
So it's important that we find out what these triggers might be. Yeah.
Yeah, first and foremost. And okay, so I'm going back to you talked about the liver problems before. Now, is there a range of issues that, you know, that you will treat, or are you open to treating patients with conditions like, you know, edema, high blood pressure, cancer, you know, and are there more specific techniques, or, you know, what if you do work on these levels, what is the process? This is in case anybody out there is listening and wondering.
Right. Well, first and foremost, as a naturopath, it's illegal for me to work on a cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the system's been set up. But
right.
other than that, I work on pretty much most conditions, and I see just about everything in my office. In addition to allergy work, I also, as I mentioned, like to see what people are eating, and I work with people's diets.
Right.
With muscle testing, we can find out where the weaknesses are in the internal body, basically which organs are stressed. And so we try to de-stress those organs through dietary choices. You know, why don't you eat more of this and avoid this for a little while.
Right.
Foods, but if, for the liver itself, you know, red meat and high fat foods and junk foods are hard on the liver. Actually, all drugs are also hard on the liver. So if you want to do an effective liver cleanse, for some people it's very difficult because they have to cut out coffee and cigarettes and drugs and red meat and fried foods and junk food. For some people, that's not a problem at all. Also, in cleaning out the liver, beets are very effective. The natural cleanser for the liver, beets, radishes, onions, anything that helps the blood helps the liver and vice versa. So onions and garlic are very good for the blood, which in turn help the liver. But directly targeting the liver with like beet juice or even radish juice and carrot juice. Carrot juice is very high in vitamin A, which is the liver vitamin. And so beet, carrot, and green vegetable juice combinations are very effective at both cleansing and rejuvenating the liver. And then a miracle supplement is alpha-lipoic acid, which is made from spinach. And alpha-lipoic acid, you can take up to 1,500 milligrams a day while doing a liver cleanse. And it's a natural antioxidant that targets the liver and can help to rejuvenate the liver. So much so that if you've been poisoned, you can take alpha-lipoic acid and it can save your life.
Mm, wow, that's powerful to know. That's how, that sounds like something you want to travel with if you travel a lot. Sounds like you want to have that with you.
Yes, and there's a lot of books out on alpha-lipoic acid, and I'm sure you could do a Google and find out about that as well. But the first gentleman to write about it had some patients who came to the hospital who'd eaten poisonous mushrooms, and they were going to die. And as an experiment, he used alpha-lipoic acid on them, and they were fine within a couple of hours, and he released them. Unfortunately, his superior was very upset because he'd used an unproven thing. He saved these people's lives. And so he left the hospital and went on to write about the importance of alpha-lipoic acid in detoxification. So that's one avenue with the pancreas, which is very important. That helps to regulate blood sugar levels and also produces a certain amount of digestive enzymes. Most of us in America are diabetic or hypoglycemic or have those tendencies. A diabetic loses his ability to produce insulin, which helps to lower blood sugar level. A hypoglycemic produces too much insulin, so blood sugar levels go too low. And the problem with our modern diet is the amount of refined sugar that we have in our diet, which is also one of the reasons we have so many obese people in America. 100 years ago, the average American ate 5 pounds of white sugar annually.
Mm.
Now it's 150 and growing.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of poison because that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, it's a drug. You know, it's as refined as heroin, and it's as addictive as cigarettes.
Right.
And then they always put it right up front during the checkout, you know, so that you go, oh, yeah. And whenever our blood sugar level drops, we want to eat something to bring our blood sugar levels back up, and sugar seems to supply that. But the problem is it spikes blood sugar levels so high, the pancreas dumps insulin into the bloodstream to lower that blood sugar, but because the sugar gets processed so quickly, the insulin stays in the bloodstream and continues to lower blood sugar. So we have this roller coaster ride throughout the day where we have too high and then too low and then too high and then too low. And the best thing is to eat either proteins or whole grains to give you a nice, steady, even burn throughout the day so you're not hungry and your blood sugar levels aren't dropping.
Wow. Also, well, I guess I'll ask about, well, high blood pressure because that's, I mean, that's the other issue. Is high blood pressure, liver problems, high blood pressure, diabetes. What do you have to say on the high blood pressure situation?
Well, there's a few things that can cause high blood pressure. Obviously, stress and our emotional response to stress have a lot to do with that. Too much cholesterol in the veins and arteries can cause that because the blood pressure actually gets stronger because the canal is more narrow. And the other is salt. The main reason is table salt, which most restaurants use, most people eat. It's a healthy store and healthy restaurant. It gives you the alternative to that, which is natural sea salt, which is important for metabolism. We do need salt in our daily diet. The problem with table salt is it's just manufactured. And what they did was they thought, well, the main components are sodium and chloride. So we'll just take sodium and chloride, we'll make it we'll manufacture it in the warehouse, and we'll make a fortune. The problem is sea salt is largely sodium and chloride, but there's also 88 other chemical components, mainly mineral salts, that your cells need in order to effectively process the sodium and the chloride. And without those 88 other different chemical components, you are shortchanging your cells and you're causing problems.
Mm.
And one of the main problems is high blood pressure, water retention inside the cells. And it's a real problem.
Yeah, it is. It's on the rise.
Yeah. I was going to say, with the same fact is, I recommend to people the types of sugars that are better for them and the types of fruits that are better so they can get their pancreas back online. But the same thing, salt is even more insidious because it's in everything. We don't even think about it. You know, most foods are salted. Sometimes we'll have to do a salt clearing. And when people do an allergy clearing with me, they have to avoid what they've been treated for. So let's say we're clearing eggs. They have to avoid eggs and then products with eggs or soups with, or rather sauces with eggs or shampoos with egg or lotions with egg. They have to be really conscious of that. If we're to clear salt, they have to avoid salting their food and eating food that has salt in it. So they pretty much have to make food themselves because anywhere you go, and there's going to be salt in it. And it's usually table salt.
Yeah, and it's used as a preservative in a lot of things. If you're eating processed
foods,
because it does preserve
food.
Right. I have a question, another question that came in. Brother Randolph, let's see. Is a symptom of liver toxicity swelling and edema around the eyes? How about the Master Cleanse for liver cleaning? Can a four-day water lemon fast be cleansing as well?
Yes, the Master Cleanse is very cleansing for all of the internal organs. It doesn't necessarily target the liver, but it is a general overall cleanse. Actually targeting the liver, there's a liver fast or a liver cleanse, which you want to clear out the liver bile. And to do that, you would need to avoid, as I mentioned, the fatty foods, the red meats, and the fried foods, and all that for 6 days. And then at the end of 6 days, you have half a cup of olive oil with grapefruit juice, and you drink that and you lie on your side, and then you pass gallstones. That's extremely effective. Also, as I mentioned earlier, beet juice and carrot juice, along with greens. I like to always add the greens because the beet and the carrot are so sweet, especially for people with pancreas problems that can cause problems with the pancreas. And it's also good to have the chlorophyll and the minerals from the greens as well. But the Master Cleanse is very effective in giving your entire digestive system a rest. And so allowing your small intestine and your large intestine to do some internal cleansing is very helpful. Even for just one meal or for one day or for a few days in a row is really the ideal. It doesn't take much. And there's several things that happen with that. Your body is able to cleanse itself on a cellular level, and you also are more appreciative of food when you go back to eating, and you realize just how locked in we are with this whole, you know, hand-to-mouth type of habits that we get into. You know, they say if you want to lose weight, eat less calories. And whenever you fast, it just gives your body that ability to enjoy cleansing itself. We've gotten so far away from that whenever we're hungry, we feel the incessant need to eat. But sometimes it's actually really good to allow those hunger pangs to subside and feel what else is going on inside your body behind all that other stuff and how much better you feel. You know, sometimes when you fast, You can run 10 miles because you have that much energy that gets freed up. Yeah. Now, sometimes you get a headache. Sometimes you'll have toxins coming out of your body. So it's important to fast intelligently. And so it's not a good idea to fast if you just think, oh, I want to fast today. It's good to read up on the importance of fasting and the cautions surrounding fasting, like being able to lie down and rest if you need to.
Mm. Great advice there on that one, definitely. I say we do need to take a break from eating. I mean, eating is more pleasurable, I think, than anything else, and that's really why people eat that much. It's more the pleasure of it. So I would say we eat, you know, for two reasons. There's pleasure, and then there's energy, nutrients. I mean, and the second one is, you know, done minimally.
We need to eat obviously to survive, but it's good actually to fast once a week. They found that by fasting dogs once a week, they live a third longer. And I think the same is true for us. You know, Gandhi used to fast. He would fast and be silent for a 24-hour period once a week. He would go from noon on one day till noon the next day. That was the way that he fasted.
I agree. I think it's really good for you. I tend to feel, actually, at my optimum, at my best, when I'm eating less. Well, I mean, I can go all day. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that everybody should do that, but as long as you're drinking a lot of water too, but I tend to be more energized. I am more tired, depending obviously on what I eat, but I do feel a lot better when I'm eating a lot less food. And if I have things to do, I eat less because I want to get work done. Otherwise, it makes me tired.
In fasting, you realize how much more time you have. I mean, how much time we spend. So you have three meals a day. And let's say some of those are at home. Then there's the preparation and there's the cleanup. You spend hours every day surrounding food. And it's unfortunate that in our culture, fasting isn't something that we do regularly. Because in certain cultures, they do fast.
Yes.
At certain times of the year or at certain times of the week.
Fasting, I think. It is healthy. I think fasting, I mean, for me growing up, it was more associated with a spiritual practice. That's what I remember it being. It was more, you know, the people would get together in the church and, you know, they would decide to go on a fast. So that was my association as a child. Now, what I noticed with the treatments is that I craved less. I wanted less food. It was definitely a sense of balance for me. The things that you were allergic to, I mean, wheat, which is, you know, bread and all of those things, I didn't want them anymore. It's like there was a balance that happened in my body where I just didn't even want those things to eat anymore. And so it did, you know, it minimized how much food intake you would get involved in.
Yes, and your choices become wiser. As you mentioned, oftentimes we crave the very thing that we're allergic to, like a moth to a flame. Sometimes we crave the mold that's on cheese. Sometimes we crave the gluten that's in the bread. So, you know, pizza, the amount of pizza that's eaten in this country is phenomenal. And a lot of times it's people that are very allergic to the very thing that they're craving. And the beauty of allergy clearing, as you mentioned, is when you don't crave something, you don't miss it.
That's true. That's true. I can see it, and it didn't bother me. Yeah.
Right. So people who crave sugar, I had a woman in my office, and this happens all the time, but she put it really well. She says, you know, I can eat one or two cookies, but I don't have to eat the whole bag anymore. Cigarettes as well. I think with people with smoking, which is not an easy thing to clear, but it is something that we can clear. And for myself, I had a lot of sugar cravings when I had allergies. And after my allergy clearing was over, my life just went through a tremendous transition because I was tired a lot. I had gas and bloating every day. I needed to sleep a lot. And I was very irritable and moody when I was hungry. Mm-hmm. I needed to eat. Whenever I was hungry, my mood would definitely be altered. You know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, and I've seen
when
that.
The severity of my sugar allergy, it just night and day. I started making smarter choices. I wasn't eating as much. My energy came back. The gas and bloating was gone. My head cleared. On and on. It was really, truly amazing. And up until then, there was really no relief for me. Because people were just saying, well, avoid what you're allergic to. But I didn't really realize the full extent of what I was allergic to. I knew I was allergic to wheat and anything with vinegar and soy. Mm. So when the doctor said, you know, I'm going to treat you for your B vitamin intolerance, because B vitamins work together with sugar. And so my whole sugar vitamin balance was off. And that happens a lot with people with addictive personalities and addictive behaviors. And any person who's addicted to something generally has a B vitamin imbalance. And the problem is, when you are intolerant, it's not like you can eat more B vitamins and that will help you. That can actually make it worse. And so it was when I got those balanced, because B vitamins you need for all enzymatic functions, what we call the life process, can't function without B vitamins, because B vitamins help to make enzymes and help enzymes to do their work. So B vitamins are essential. And the problem is when we drink alcohol or eat sugar, refined sugar, we rob our body of B vitamins. And often that's what we're looking for, because we're looking for energy. And if you look to nature, honey is loaded with B vitamins. Maple syrup, loaded with B vitamins. Even cane sugar in cane form has B vitamins in it, because your body needs the B vitamins to effectively process the sugar. But when we take all those B vitamins out, when we refine sugar, then we're creating a drug. You know, white sugar is a drug that we freely give to our children in our society. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of parents who would like to keep their kids off sugar and keep their kids off sugar until they enter the public school system.
Wow.
And then it's all over because it's social. You know, anytime there's a party, there's tons of sugar and pizza and cake and candy and ice cream. And, you know, it's either isolate the child away from all this socialism, or, you know, allow them to go in there and do what they do. And it's a shame that our kids are so hooked. And you see them having drug-type reactions, a lot of them to sugar. You know, they start crying, they start yelling, they start acting out. All the kids.
Right, but people don't associate it with that. A lot of times parents aren't really associating it with the possibility of this child having withdrawal symptoms.
Yes, it's amazing. We pump our kids full of drugs and preservatives and dyes and all these chemicals, and then they act out, and then we think, oh, well, that's just part of being children. Where if you feed your kids organic and brown rice and foods that neutralize and stabilize, then you'd see as a comparison the difference when kids are eating all that other stuff. And then the child has the ability to make an association. You know, when I eat that food, I don't really feel as good.
Mm-hmm.
Like adults need to say, you know, when I do this, when I eat too many, drink too many margaritas, then I suffer, I pay for it, whatever it is. Or when I eat food at 12 o'clock at night, you know, I don't sleep as well.
Right. Which brings me to my next question. Make sure I cover this before the show ends. You mentioned Chinese medicine before, but I want to talk about this. You said every organ is more heavily stimulated over a two-hour period, causing it to take 24 hours to complete the 24-hour cycle known as the circadian clock. Well, if this is so, people, I think, need to understand the importance then of sleep. Isn't sleep then very significant in terms of the time that we actually are sleeping, time of day?
Yes, it's important that we sleep at night. People who work through the night, who work the graveyard shift, are more prone to depression and more prone to accidents and more prone to ill health. That's just categorically across the board, because we're not nocturnal creatures. And the circadian clock is really based on a society pre-electricity. So when the sun went down, most people went to bed. When the sun came up, most people got up, and in an agrarian society, they go out and work on their crops. And if you look at the circadian clock, it really makes a lot of sense. That'd be a more effective chart as opposed to over the air. But I know that between 1 and 3 a.m. is the time of the liver, and that is when the liver does its most effective internal self-regulating and cleansing. And if you're awake or active, it can't do that. You need to be resting in order for the liver to do that. So you miss out on that vital functioning inside your body. That's just one instance. There was also a recent study on the importance of sleep and how much not getting a good night's sleep affects our intelligence and our productivity. And we think in the United States, you know, if you work 70 hours a week or 100 hours a week, you know, and you're getting sleep deprived, at least, you know, you're being a more productive person. This demonstrated that you're actually a lot smarter after a good night's sleep. Give an example. They had this test that you were to do on a keyboard, certain random placement of the keys. And if you did it at 7 a.m. and then did it again at 7 p.m., you were pretty much the same. But if you did it first at 7 p.m. and then did it again at 7 a.m., you were better at it. Because your mind had been able to process that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So by not sleeping and by working these crazy hours, we're just becoming less productive.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the big question, are you able to do any of this work long distance? I have to ask, because someone had asked me. So I have to ask you that.
I've never done that. There probably are people who are able to do that, but it's not something I'm familiar with, not something I've been trained in, not something I'm comfortable with. I like to have the person in front of me so that I can, you know, look at their eyes and look in their face. You'd mentioned before the person asked about liver and his eyes being puffy. That's really a kidney.
That would be kidney,
especially, you know, like dark circles under the eyes. That's kidney. You see liver conditions in the eyeball itself. Mm-hmm. In Chinese medicine, if the liver opens into the eyes, like if a person has jaundice, you would see it in the eyes. If a person is stoned, you see it in their eyes. If they've been drinking, you can see it in the eyes. If they have a lot of toxins, you see it in the eyes. And so the eyes do have a certain amount of things that they reflect about what's going on with the liver. And I also wanted to say, I don't want to sound like a stick in the mud here, you know, because we're talking about food and diet and sleep and all that. So this is what I tell people, because oftentimes I'll advise people on eating. And I'll say, my recommendation is Monday through Friday, follow these recommendations. On the weekends, do whatever you want. That does a few things. But it gives people an outlet, like, okay, you know, on the weekend I can enjoy myself.
Right.
So it creates a certain amount of discipline around food and lifestyle throughout the week. Also gives you an outlet for that, which I think is good. But it also shows you Monday morning, if you've indulged too much on the weekend, you begin to feel the difference, how you feel during the week versus how you feel on Monday morning. And I'm all for cake and pie and ice cream and all that, but in moderation. And when we do things in moderation, everything is fine. But I stress all this because our society is not moderate anymore. And you see that in our health, and you see that in the amount of people that are overweight and how hard that is on the body and all the complications that come. Basically, fat people do not live into their old age. The fatter you are, the more likely you are to die of complications due to that weight. So it's imperative that as Americans, we begin to take a fundamental shift in our approach to food. Food isn't just about things that taste good. You know, it's just food fuel creating my body and the health of my body and the shape of my body. So it's important, you know. It's like people spend more money on their cars than they do on their own bodies. So it's another
priority. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
And an ounce of prevention is worth an ounce of cure. All that money that you spend extra for health food will pay it for itself.
Absolutely. You can enjoy so much more of your life when you're feeling
so
healthy.
So much life.
Yeah, so much more life as opposed to, the other. Well, got just a minute or so left. Dr. Kim, would you give out your information and your website address, how you can be contacted?
Yes, my website is my name, so it's www.kimmoise.com. That's K-I-M-M-O-I-S-E. And my phone number is 310. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought it had Ian in there. Kim Ian Moise, doesn't it have Ian in it? I thought it did.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I think it's my email address. Thank you, Sonia. Also has my middle name, kimianmoise.com. So my middle name is I-A-N. So it's K-I-M-I-A-N-M-O-I-S-E. And I know that's important. If you don't punch in those exact letters, then you may not get my website.
You'll get something
you can
else.
Do a Google search. Yeah, Kim Moise. And my phone number is 310-383-4747.
Well, it certainly has been a pleasure having you on the show, Dr. Kim, and you did give out so much great information.
Being here. Thank you so much, Sonia.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you to the listening audience. You may contact me at Sonia, S-O-N-I-A-B-A-R-R, at yahoo.com, and you may visit my website, www.sovereignmindradio.com, and be sure to visit my other website with all of the other information regarding my book and all the articles, www.spiritinform.com. Join me next Wednesday at 9 a.m., and remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me.
Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're watching me on the telly. Seeing me going away.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Calm.